listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. It is Tuesday, August 4th, from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos, just about a month away from Broncos football, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited. I know everybody else is excited, but I'm Cody Rourke, your host. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the show at Lockdown Broncos. I'm joined today by my good friend Zach Seegers at Zach_Seegers and Patrick Keyote at Patrick Keyote on Twitter. And they're part of Broncos Pro Football Network. So go check out profootballnetwork.com/Broncos to receive daily exclusive content from Patrick and Zach. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by our good friends over there, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. I'll tell you about them a little bit later on as the show progresses. But ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode of the show, Zach, Patrick, and myself, we're going to talk about the big news right now in Dove Valley. Broncos right tackle Juwan James has opted out for the 2020 NFL season. What does this mean for the team? What does this mean for the position? And we got to take a new look at how we evaluate player opt-outs, plus which players will break out in 2020. Zach, Patrick, and I give our thoughts. And if you could go back to the first two rounds of the draft, would you still go with two wide receivers? We debate and discuss on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. So Zach, Patrick, let's kick things off. Obviously, the biggest news was yesterday that Juwan James was the second player announced as opting out for the 2020 NFL season. James put out a statement detailing as to why he's opting out, relating it to what's been going on in the offseason. James' reasoning to that was because him and his wife recently just had a child here in May, and it presents some health issues, and that's something that James does not want to risk taking. And also, James has had a family member that's experienced being diagnosed with COVID-19, going through the whole effects health-wise. He's seen firsthand what it is like. And so he has decided to opt out for the 2020 NFL season. Now, obviously, fellas, this is a big blow for the Broncos' hopes on the offensive line going into 2020, because I think a lot of us were looking at it in our offseason preview that the offensive line position, specifically right tackle, getting Juwan James back, was going to be huge for the Broncos' success in terms of getting the run game going and also establishing a rhythm in the passing game. So, Patrick, let's start things off with you, my man. You know, what were your thoughts initially when you heard this? Because it is a big blow for the Broncos, but now, look, they don't have time to feel sorry for themselves. They've got to find another option going forward.
Initially, my first thought was, I needed to see what James had said. And once I read his statement, I could completely understand where he was coming from, especially having a family member that suffered through COVID and then having the newborn. Unfortunately, a lot of people didn't feel the same way. The sentiment that he's soft and he doesn't love football. I believe I saw some radio personality in Denver say that he just plain doesn't like to play football and doesn't want to be a Denver Bronco. I think that's completely outrageous. Family always comes first. That's a football staple. His family is first, and that means your family on the field as well as your family off the field. So he's taking his family into his own thoughts. It's not hard giving up $13 million. If you had a gun pointed to your head and they told you to choose between $150,000 or $13 million, I think a lot of us are going to take the $13 million. So this wasn't an easy decision for him. Going forward, I hope the best for his newborn and his family. But back to football. Looking at our options now, Drew Lock now has the same starting tackles that he had when he, got his first start in Denver. He has Garrett Bowles and he has Elijah Wilkinson, who was just brought off the PUP list. Outside of that, Calvin Anderson is a guy who's, young and unproven, but he's a guy that Mike Munchak likes from what we've heard. Is he, a long-term guy? Could he be a long-term replacement for this season? I don't know yet. So if you're going to look at other options outside of that in free agency, there's really not a whole lot there besides a lot of guys that are 30 plus. So we're talking Cordy Glenn. We're talking former Bronco. You brought him up, Jared Valdir. Donald Penn is 37 years old. And he's still a free agent. So there's options out there, but are they the right option? We don't just want to bring some guy in and just, say, well, we needed a tackle. We had to get a tackle. So here you go. Like, you know, they want to make sure that they have the right guy. So when we look back at the draft, and I know we'll probably talk about this, but when we look back at the draft and we say, well, why didn't they take a tackle? You know, because this situation would have likely happened. Well, they probably didn't take a tackle because they felt confident in the depth that they had. They liked what they saw in Elijah Wilkinson, which some players or some fans may not have been, you know, super excited about his play. But the fact of the matter is he did step in crucial times, and he played his part to the best of his abilities. So, you know, having an entire offseason to work, getting that training camp with Munchak, who knows what type of talent Wilkinson could have this season. There's also the talk of, you know, switching Dalton Risner to right tackle, which I personally, I'm not about it. Keep him at left guard. He was fantastic there. But really right now, let's just stick at looking at Wilkinson and Calvin Anderson as the options going forward. If they bring in a free agent, you know, personally, Veldier would probably be my choice. He played some pretty good snaps in Green Bay last year. So that would be my thoughts on it.
Yeah. And I want to reiterate again, just what Patrick said about the depth there. I think the depth is really strong, and that's probably why we didn't see them add more tackles, because, you know, Garrett Bowles is on a prove it year. He's I know they said there was going to be a competition between him and Wilkinson, but he was definitely gonna, or almost definitely gonna, win that starting job there on the left side. And then you have James, and then you have capable backups, and like you said, a Wilkinson who now will have to start, but then you've also got Calvin Anderson, who Munchak believes in, and Jake Rogers, who we saw some of last year, who by no means is a starting caliber tackle, but as a backup tackle, he's more than adequate. And you know, really just, again, hitting it again on the Juwan James thing, because it's so important. These guys aren't soft. You know, they just, at the end of the day, football, as much entertainment as we all derive from it, as much as we all love it, you know, the three of us on here have based our careers around the game of football. Cody and Patrick, you've even played, you know, semi-pro and put their bodies on the line in that respect. We all love football a ton, but at the end of the day, it is a game, and a fun one, a great game, but one that's not going to take precedent over your family's health and safety. And again, it's not that he doesn't love the game of football. He's walking away from $13 million to keep his son and himself and the rest of his family and loved ones safe. And honestly, I think it's admirable and something, again, we should admire, not denigrate in these players. But as far as replacements go, you know, I think you feel decent about Elijah Wilkinson taking that right tackle spot, because again, last season was his first year starting pretty much a full season at tackle. And he had Ronald Leary next to him on the offensive line. And Leary, you know, for as much flack as Garrett Bowles gets, Leary was just as bad, if not worse, in my opinion, right there at right guard. He just plays a much less premier position, so he doesn't, you know, get the same attention that Bowles does. It's easier to hide a bad guard than a bad tackle. You know, going from him to Graham Glasgow is going to give Wilkinson a lot of help there. Wilkinson, again, now has experience to build off of. He's going to have time with Mike Munchak to get him ready for that starting role as the season approaches. And then I think you'll see him add a Cordy Glenn, a Jared Veldier, DeMar Dotson. You know, there are some guys who are lower end starters in 2019, but they were still starters a season ago. And if that guy's your backup or your insurance policy to Elijah Wilkinson there on the right side, I think you can make do, especially considering that I think you could make an argument Drew Locke's best trait in his rookie season was his ability to move in the pocket and avoid pressure. You know, sometimes he drifted too much to the left and created unnecessary pressures. But through those five starts he had, his sack rate was one of, if not the lowest in the league, and one of the lowest we've seen from rookie quarterbacks since sack rates started to be tracked. So this guy is a natural pocket mover. I think he is equipped to handle them losing James on the right side of the line. And again, I think it won't hurt them as much as losing James did last year, because you have Graham Glasgow to help Wilkinson out right there.
And we're going to continue our conversation here on the Broncos' options at the right tackle position. Some new developments, obviously, roster-wise. The Broncos have made some moves to get some players in position after being placed on a specific list. What does that be? They come off of it. We talk about that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode of the show. That's our good friends over there, rockauto.com. And with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why should you have to endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning from the guy behind the counter while he orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand that his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. And like I said, last week I was browsing through rockauto.com's website and I was very, very blown away at how easy it was to navigate to find specific builds for my car by year, by make, and by model, and by price preferences. That's why I go with rockauto.com. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you can get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is very unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and you can choose the brands, the specifications, and like I said, the prices that you prefer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On Broncos in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Continuing our discussion here on the Broncos' ongoing situation with Juwan James, he has opted out for the 2020 NFL season, putting his family first, and it's a move that I widely respect, and this was something I wanted to spend some time on here today, gentlemen, because I posted out a little bit about the press release that he put out. I quote tweeted it, and I tell you what, just seeing some of the responses from people who claim that they love the game of football or claim that they are kind-hearted people in their little Twitter bios, the fact that you got all these people really just bashing and calling a professional athlete soft, but they don't understand. They're not in his shoes, and they don't realize that he is essentially, like you mentioned earlier, giving up $13 million for $150,000 for this year. That's all he's going to make, $150,000. He's not going to make $13 million. And I think that fans just get so caught up in the gladiator sport element of it that they really do forget at the end of the day. Look, I get it. The NFL right now, it may not appear, but they care about their players enough to say, look, we're going to give you an option. If you want to opt out, you can do so. You're not going to get your full salary. You can get a financial credit and your year will essentially pause and you can come back next season. That's what the Broncos are doing. That's what various players around the NFL is doing. And look, I don't think our regular employers, my regular employer, your regular employer, they don't care enough about us to give us that option, right? But if we were presented with that, you bet your bottom dollar, I would take that deal. I would opt out. I've seen firsthand exactly what COVID can do to people. I have at-risk family members. And look, I'm very precautious. I'm very safe wherever I go. And I hate to turn this into a soapbox, but look, I'm big on the humanity piece. And really, a lot of the responses that I've seen from people have really kind of disheartened me. And it's kind of created a little bit of disgust. So if you're the type of person that's going to tweet out at a professional athlete, call them soft, call them all these vile names, please let me know so I can unfollow you. I don't want to deal with that. You know, I'm all about positive energy. We can't deal with that anymore. So outside of just talking about the situation of itself, we talk about potential options here. Patrick had mentioned earlier that why aren't the Broncos, this is some responses he's seen on Twitter, why aren't the Broncos moving Dalton Risner to right tackle? That has never been discussed by the Broncos organization. They're not going to look at it. They're not going to look at Natani Muti there. They're literally going to go with Garrett Bowles at left tackle. You're going to have Dalton Risner at left guard, Lloyd Cushenberry projected to be the starting center, and then also at right guard, you're going to have Graham Glasgow. So Elijah Wilkinson was activated off the physically unable to perform list here yesterday. So what does that mean for the Broncos? Well, now he's going to start getting back into the loop with some contact. Now, he had off-season ankle surgery. He had some scar tissue stemming from an injury towards the end of the 2019 regular season. So you got to keep in mind that he's going to be a little bit slow behind the curve, but there are opportunities there. As Patrick had mentioned, you have Calvin Anderson as one of those guys to keep an eye on. There's Quinn Bailey there as well. The Broncos also have Hunter Watts, who is an undrafted free agent that they brought in as well. He's a 6'8", 320-pound lineman. They have options, and they're going to go through them first in-house. Now, dating back to the overall projected Broncos starting lineup, it is expected to be Garrett Bowles at left tackle and Elijah Wilkinson at right tackle to start the season. And with Drew Lock, maybe it serves them more beneficially than it did having a Wilkinson at right tackle when Joe Flacco was in, because he does get the ball out a lot quicker. But let's talk about the overall cap implications, because there's some question marks that I think a lot of fans have overall, if the Broncos were to just say, look, we're going to cut and release Juwan James right now or even next year, his cap hit would be a $13 million cap hit, and it would carry over a $19 million towards the dead cap. You don't want that. The Broncos aren't going to release Juwan James. I would be very, very shocked if they ever decided to do that to incur such a dead cap hit. The Broncos do have an easier option after the 2021 NFL season, where I believe it's only a $3 million dead cap hit. So the contract language in there kind of fluctuates a little bit. So the Broncos do have options, but I do think it is great news, though, that we are seeing some of these injured players that were on the physically unable to perform list or the non-football injury list as well, like Netani Muti, who's activated, and now Elijah Wilkinson. So very excited to see what these players can do for the Broncos going into 2020. Now, let's talk about a different conversation here, gentlemen. I want to get into the flow of things in terms of if you could go back to the 2020 NFL draft, knowing what we know right now, if you were John Elway, if you were the Broncos personnel department, would you still go with two wide receivers in round one and round number two? My answer on that, I'm going yes, absolutely, because guess what? That is a bigger need. And we saw specifically, and I'm going to refer to this, is the offensive line for the Broncos in the final two games of the season. That was as makeshift as you'll ever get at an offensive line. You had Austin Schlottman, you had Jake Rogers at right guard and right tackle. And that was arguably one of the worst types of lineups that the Broncos had productivity-wise from that position. But overall, Drew Locke was still getting the ball out of his hands quickly, and it wasn't much of a factor having those two at those positions. So I think that with add a talent like Graham Glasgow and Elijah Wilkinson, once he gets fully acclimated, I think that's the best option there. I would not have gone with a tackle in this year's offensive line class because there was a lot of tackles. I'm not going to go back there. So Patrick and Zach, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think going back and looking at it, I think my sentiment would probably be the same. Looking at how the offense produced last year, you know, it was very important that the team added weapons for Drew Locke. And I keep seeing people on Twitter and Facebook, you know, talk about, well, Drew Locke is he's done. He's going to get sacked so many times. It's like, well, you guys really didn't watch the last five games, did you? Because you didn't see, like you said, the makeshift offensive lines that were in there, and Drew was still getting the ball off. Zach brought up a great point. He had the lowest sack rate of any quarterback that I believe had it was 130 snaps, something like that. He had the lowest sack rate. He was getting the ball out just fine. I think that there's no way that we go back and we still take another tackle. You know, Josh Jones is, I think, was the best tackle at the time that was available when we took Hamler. So, and even then, you know, you can't rely on a rookie tackle to just come in and start right away. So I'm fine with taking Judy and Hamler. I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, I think the tackle discussion is something to look at, but looking at everything we know now, rather than having to replace those tackles at the end of this season, both James and Bowles, they will have James for the 2021 season, which I think makes tackle a little bit less of a future need. And again, if we're looking at just the immediacy, are we that confident that Josh Jones, who had injury problems at the Senior Bowl, is coming from a non-Power 5 school with this shortened offseason? Is he going to be as, you know, have that first year impact? Is he going to be as good of a starting tackle in 2020 as Elijah Wilkinson will be with a better supporting cast around him and more experience in that role? I don't know, but I think it's pretty comparable. And then beyond that, so if we're saying we're not really upgrading that right tackle spot all that much, it's just a slight upgrade, just how much KJ Hamler brings to the offense with that speed element is worth it. Even if he doesn't fix his drop problems, which I really think he will with better quarterback play, that speed is going to open up the run game for Gordon and Lindsay. It's going to open up the pass game for everyone else, and it's going to make Locke's job finding the holes in the defense that much easier.
So the Broncos will have a lot that they'll have to counteract in the time between now and the week one regular season opener against the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football as it pertains to the right tackle position, something that they'll probably have a plan in place, or they may already have a plan in place, and we just are all sitting here wondering what they're going to do with it. But I do like the option of them looking at in-house options first. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, Patrick, Zach, and I, we're going to talk about the players that we believe are going to break out in the 2020 NFL season. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys, check out Locked On Nuggets, hosted by Adam Mattes and Matt Moore. They bring you the latest pick and roll action with your Denver Nuggets. MPJ Nikola Jokic went off in their second game against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Nuggets seeding games for the upcoming NBA playoffs. Nikola Jokic hit the Sambor shuffle. But what does that mean for the Nuggets' implications with six games remaining inside the bubble for the playoff seeding? Check out Locked On Nuggets, hosted by Adam Mattes and Matt Moore. Let's get into our conversation now, gentlemen, on players that we believe will break out in the 2020 NFL season. We're going to get Zach's pick, we're going to get Patrick's pick, and my pick to conclude today's episode of the show. And I don't want to start things off, so Patrick, I'm going to let you lead off with this one, man. Name me one player in your mind that you believe is going to have a breakout season here in 2020 for the Denver Broncos. Granted, a season does happen.
You know, my pick is going to be Draymond Jones. I think that what he showed us last year in his time, you know, rotating in it at the defensive end spot, I think it was exactly what we wanted to see from him in his rookie season. You know, they primarily used him in passing downs, which is fine because he's really kind of more of that interior pass rusher. But I think the addition of Jarrell Casey, you know, bringing back Shelby Harris, kind of keeping that continuity, I think it's going to be huge. Casey, especially bringing him in and having him kind of be that veteran leader of that defensive line, I think we're going to see an uptick in play from Draymond Jones. He already had the skills. He's got the strength. He's got the burst. Now we get to see him bring it all together. I think he's going to have a huge role and possibly replace Shelby Harris going forward.
Patrick's daughter making a star appearance here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast, ladies and gentlemen. But yes, no, Patrick, I agree with you there. I think that Draymond Jones is going to be one of those players that is probably going to be in a position to have some success here in 2020. Zach, what about you? Which is a player on the Broncos roster, either offensively, defensively, heck, it can even be special teams, that you believe is going to break onto the scene here in 2020?
Yeah, you know, for me, because Patrick went on the defensive side of the ball, I'm kind of between two here, Bryce Callahan and Noah Fant. But I'm going to go with Noah Fant because I think with Callahan, it'd be more of a return to form than a breakout, so to say. And Noah Fant, I think when you look at the tight end position, they usually struggle in their rookie season, kind of figure it out towards the later end. And then in year two, we see the big pop. And there were all the signs of that. Last season with him heating up down the stretch, especially once Flacco got out of the lineup. And his athletic ability is ridiculous. I saw a tweet a while back, and it's accurate, that Noah Fant is bigger than Courtland Sutton and faster than Courtland Sutton. And that is something that is crazy to think about. And again, he's going to be operating in an offense run by Pat Shurmur, where Pat Shurmur just – was commonplace for Evan Engram these last couple years. So I think, you know, he knows how to utilize these type of weapons. And I think Noah Fant's a better version of that move tight end that Evan Engram is. And I think he's going to absolutely thrive. Again, you also have stability at the quarterback position. He's an athletic freak. It looks like he's even added some muscle this offseason. And I'm just expecting big, big things from him. I think he is going to emerge as one of the, you know, top 5 to 10 tight ends in the league. I think he's going to just have a breakout year for sure. And yeah, I think what's getting lost in this Broncos receiving core that now has Sutton, now has Judy, now has Hamler, and all the weapons Drew Lock has there, and again in the backfield with Gordon and Lindsey, people often brush over Noah Fant, and I think he is going to, I don't know, I think he's going to light the world on fire this season. I think he's going to be an incredible mismatch for this Broncos offense.
I'm interested to see how Pat Shurmur does utilize Fant too, because going back and watching his film, I really envision Fant being that Evan Engram type player. And as we've seen, he's done a lot with Evan Engram as that player. I mean, the Giants offense without Saquon, obviously in the running game, that hurt, but really in the passing game without Evan Engram, they really suffered a major setback. So I'm excited to see what Shurmur could actually do with Noah Fant, if he can be put in those positions to be successful, to get the ball in his hands more frequently and quicker than what we saw in 2019. That's going to be a big step. One player I'm going to select, gentlemen, is Tim Patrick. Offensively, everybody's talking about Jerry Jeudy. Everyone's talking about KJ Hamler. And everybody's even talking about Courtland Sutton. We expect Courtland Sutton to have a big season in 2020. But I think that opposite of him, I think that Tim Patrick is going to be one of the players that will see a lot of success, because here's the deal. The Broncos, you know, have that advantage now with Courtland Sutton already. The attention that he saw from defenses was out there. Then you add a guy like Jerry Jeudy to the mix. Granted, whether he plays up inside the slot or where he plays up on the outside, he can do both for the Broncos. Opposite of him, I think you have a really great opportunity to really get a one-on-one matchup with a guy like Tim Patrick. And Tim Patrick, with his 6'4" size, his explosive athleticism, and his ability to box out defenders, he could be one of those possession players. And I like to reference it, too. He didn't play in the first half of the season in 2019. He missed from week two all the way up through the bye week due to a broken hand after he suffered that in week one against the Raiders. He came back and he had 16 catches. 14 of them went for a first down to move the chains. So he was a possession player that the Broncos and even Drew Lock would go to consistently on third down. And heck, even on second and short, they were trying to go to Tim Patrick a little bit, and they lined him up in the slot and on the outside. So I think between him and Judy's dual purpose, being able to play both inside and outside, I think the Broncos have really a lot of options. And I think that Tim Patrick's going to be one of the beneficiaries of the extra attention that guys like Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton will receive in 2020. But Broncos country, that'll do it for today's episode. Lockdown Broncos, brought to you by our good friends over there, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. The Broncos now have to figure out what life will be like in 2020 without right tackle Juwan James. Who's going to step in? Is it going to be Elijah Wilkinson? Is it going to be Calvin Anderson? Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at Lockdown Broncos. In the meantime, you guys can follow Zach at Zach_Seegers and Patrick at Patrick Coyote on Twitter. I'm Cody Rourke. You can follow me at Cody Rourke NFL. Zach, Patrick, and myself, we will be back for a brand new episode of the show here tomorrow. We got a lot to break down here in Broncos country. We'll see you then.